Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for coming.
You need to have earpiece. I was speaking Inuktitut. I was going to say English. Inuktitut.
I'll be speaking English every now and then, so that you will know. First of all, today, City Council meeting number 7 on May 26, 2026, at 6 o'clock in the evening. Our interpreters are Andrew Diala and Lita Hetzuk. Thank you for being here to help us. Before we start, we also have two elders passed on, residents of Iqaluit. And in respect to these, let's have a moment of silence. Thank you. Thank you for being here tonight. And our council member, the Deputy Mayor Smith, is joining us online. And also, Sam is also here. Cam. I keep forgetting the name. First of all, we don't have any swearing in, and our agenda remains the same. Regarding our agenda, there have to be an adoption of the agenda. If there can be a mover, moved by Councillor Shepherd, seconded by Councillor Stevenson. Any adjustments or additions? The committees are consisting of 3 members only, and also one joining us online. I don't think we will be able to proceed with item number 12. Based on that, those in favor of the agenda? 3 in favor, and also Deputy Mayor Smith in favor, unanimous. Minutes of the Governance and Priorities Call meeting number 3, minutes dated May 5, 2026, has to be a mover. Moved by Councillor Stevenson, seconded by Councillor Stevenson. Comments, questions to the motion? I see none. Those in favor? All in favor in house? Deputy Mayor Smith?
Quidnamic, unanimous.
City Council meeting number 6, minutes dated May 12, 2026. There has to be a mover to approve these minutes. Moved by Councillor Aglukak, seconded by Councillor Stevenson. Questions, comments? I see none. Those in favor? All in favor in house? Deputy Mayor Smith. Unanimous, all in favor, carried. Item number 2, is there a declaration of interest? Councillor Shepherd.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, I almost forgot. I have to declare for 9B.
Anybody else who is declaring of interest? I don't see none. Delegations. Our RCMP detachments will be presenting their monthly reports, March and April 2026, Staff Sergeant Velatko. You can come up to the booth and where the microphone is. I would appreciate that. If you're ready, please proceed.
Ulukatuk, thank you for having me this evening. I have two reports to present to you today. There is one report from March and one from April. So I will start with the March report first. So during the month of March, the Calvert RCMP detachment members responded to 895 calls for service. 220 persons were lodged in our cells. At least 320 of those calls were liquor-related calls, and 20 of those files resulted in new charges being recommended. The Calvert RCMP members conducted more than 30 patrols in the high crime area and proactively visited the liquor establishment to deter impaired driving. Members also completed 30 curfew checks on prolific offenders in the communities, and this combined efforts increased the police visibility and hence the public safety and strengthened the relationship between the RCMP and the community. Also, during the month of March, the Calvert members regularly attended the local schools and connected with the youth with strong focus on building positive relationship. Our Corporal McKay dedicated significant time coaching various groups of young hockey players in the community. And Corporal McIntyre was one of the organizer that was part of the Hockey Helps Homeless initiative for the community. During the month of March, the pilot project between the Iqaluit RCMP and City of Iqaluit Municipal Enforcement showed strong results over that period of time. Their involvement in visibility and constantly being present in the high crime area had significantly reduced the calls for service. I'm moving on to the report for April. During the month of April, the Calvert RCMP detachment members responded to 995 calls in total. 134 people were lodged in our cells. At least 415 of those calls of service were liquor related, and 30 files resulted in new charges being recommended by the RCMP. The Calvert members conducted more than 21 patrols in the high crime area and proactively again visited the liquor establishment to impair to deter impaired driving. Members also completed 8 curfew checks on prolific offenders. Also during the month of April, members of the Calvert RCMP actively engaged with the community through various initiatives. We were hosting the annual RCMP Tunic Time barbecue, bringing together approximately about 350 community members. The Calvert RCMP members engaged with the community members and distributed stickers to children and made a various efforts to be present and to foster a positive relationship with the community members. The members of the Calvert detachment during the month of April conducted proactive check stops and screened vehicles for impaired drivers. As part of the ongoing effort to improve the community safety, breath demand screenings were administered to all the drivers that were going through the check stops, resulting in 2 impaired drivers being charged. This initiative served as a deterrent and also raising awareness about the danger of impaired driving. That's about it that I have for the two reports for the 2 months. With me today, I would like to introduce our new crops officer, Superintendent Simon McDermott, sitting behind me, who is also joining this meeting for the first time. I will hand over the chair to him to say a few words before I take any questions, if that's okay.
When you meet Sergeant Velasco.
Thank you, Sergeant Velasco.
Ila, Undersako Mayor, Deputy Mayor Smith, Councillors, Kuvesuk Tumbarero, Yungataman.
I am very happy to be back in Iqaluit. I'm Simon McDermott. I used to live here when I was a boy. I grew up in Nunavut, in Paninlet, in Iqaluit and Aqbeat, and also Greasefjord. I work at I lead criminal operations, and I'm very happy that I'll be able to help the people of Nunavut in Iqaluit and also in all of the communities in Nunavut.
And council members, Deputy Smith, my name is Simon McDermott. I recently moved back to Iqaluit in April, and I've just taken over the role of being the officer in charge of criminal operations for all of Nunavut. I'm ecstatic to be back in Nunavut serving once again. I left here in 1997 to join the RCMP, and at one point always anticipated moving back here to serve, but that wasn't in the cards until now. So it's a real full circle opportunity for me. I was raised in Nunavut, in communities such as Aqbeat, Resolute Bay, Pond Inlet, and then I moved as my family did to Iqaluit to finish my high school. One of the main reasons why I'm so happy about being able to serve in this role is that I'm able to give back to Nunavummiut, and not just here in Iqaluit, but with all the different communities. And so I just wanted to come tonight to introduce myself so that people were familiar here, and subject to any questions anybody might have. That's all I wanted to say.
Thank you. Thank you, Simon. I recognize you. And my father is here, is in town too. Yes, I know him too. Does anyone have any questions to the officers or to policemen on their activities? Councillor Shepherd.
Mr. Mayor, thank you for the presentation. Just want to, first of all, thank you for a lot of the good work that's been done recently. I know there's been some dangerous firearms taken off the street, as well as drugs. You know, we see things happening elsewhere in the country, like the recent incredibly large bust in Winnipeg. You know, and just have to assume that some of those drugs were inevitably destined for Nunavut at some point in time. It's nice to see work like that being done both away and here at home. You know, we can't have enough of that type of activity, taking those things off our streets. I had to attend the detachment yesterday to surrender a firearm under the new federal requirements, and I just have to say it was an incredibly easy process. The member was wonderful to work with, and it was much easier than anticipated, so I thank your colleagues for that. I just want to talk a little bit, it's that time of year, about public drinking. I see that your colleagues in Yellowknife are expanding foot patrols and bike patrols in the downtown core to deal with the exact same issues that we face here in Iqaluit. I hope that there's some work being done on that. I do note that a resident in town has spent the last several months on his walks collecting alcohol beverage cans in our community and has collected over 10,000 cans. These are not people that are drinking at home and then taking their garbage outside and dropping it off. These are alcoholic beverages being consumed in public. And I think when you realize that there's been 10,000 of them, It's not a public littering problem, it's a public drinking problem. And it's widespread, and we definitely need to address it. And I realize the RCMP is not, the owner of that problem. It's a multi, jurisdictional issue that needs to be addressed. But I'm just wondering, what are the plans for the coming months? What can your department do? What additional resources do you need to be more proactive, to address the public consumption of alcohol that only you are have the delegated authority to enforce as we come into the warmer months, as we already see public drinking, more common than it was even a month ago?
Thank you, Councillor Shepherd. Sergeant Nikolovsky, can you respond to that, please?
Thank you. So the plan that I had in place for the RCMP members to work with the bylaw, unfortunately, I have no resources at this time to dedicate that to that project. However, it's still something that I'm looking forward to be able to secure resources so we can continue with that project. However, I have quite a bit of interest shown by the members to continue with the last year project of ATV patrols during random hours, random places. So the members will be able to focus basically on the liquor problem in the community. So that's something that's going to come up for, I'm hoping that we're going to start rolling out the ATV patrols in June, as soon as the weather permits for the members to be out there. As I said, the members have shown quite of interest in doing those patrols during the summer. So I'm hoping that the ATV patrols and along with the bylaw project, if I'm able to secure resources, that it's going to show great results, and hopefully we can reduce the number of public drinking and nuisance around town. So.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Realizing the RCMP is a contracted police force here, and
hoje na me mayor tamako atun nakta si kidlakti lugitamani ubago kati majuluta tema tuchiga khatta kumak nyak megata tuchiga khatta kha khatta lo
basis for everything you do. I have no question that you're all stretched very thin, but would there be benefit in us, formally requesting those additional resources for the RCMP?
Thank you, Councillor Shepherd. Sergeant Nikolovsky.
Definitely, if I can use more members that I can dedicate to specific tasks, will benefit the detachment, it will benefit the community. As we previously discussed that, the situation that I have right now in hand with the FNIPP position, that is the member dedicated to Calvary Seconda to the GN, therefore, that will be something, a position that could benefit the community, specifically in Calwood, where they should be running a program that is community driven, right? However, if we are able to secure more resources, it's going to be a huge benefit to the detachment.
Thank you, Sergeant Nikolovsky, Councillor Aloka.
Wait, McDermott, and you said you were in Alvet at one point? And
50 years ago.
Wow. So you'd know my Nana Chuck, Dorothy Agluka. Anyways, welcome to Akaluit. Welcome back. Amazing full circle. Really proud to have you here. And thank you, Sergeant, again. Going to my colleague's comments about public drinking intoxication, again, we are within those months already. It's evident what I see from the public on social media and hearsay that it's a huge issue. And I strongly encourage and support any work that your team does moving forward with trying to amplify those traffic stops or ATV patrols and hoping that maybe even potentially at some point foot patrols, because, you know, being on at the actual ground in these spaces is going to be, you know, they're effective. And like I've seen, you know, the security guards walking around too, it deters some people, but not quite as effective as your team members do. So it'd be, you know, it'd be strongly recommended that maybe something like that comes to fruition in this summer. As we know, we saw last summer, same thing, public intoxication surrounding multiple areas within the city core and throughout the city of Iqaluit. Can't even just dedicate it to one core area, it's the whole city. And in the surrounding outskirts of city of Iqaluit, like in our Silver Grinnell Park, the causeway, people taking off on boats, you see cans of beer too. And, you know, and we have like the West 40, like future development of the West 40, and then the playgrounds. We have children that are going to be out of school, potentially in day camps. It's going to be really important how we work together with your team and what even the Department of Justice could do to ensure that a plan is effectively put in place and implemented to try and at least tackle this really serious issue around public intoxication. It's not something that we want Iqaluit and young adults to witness. My soon-to-be 14-year-old, like, I fear that he even walks downtown alone. So it's, again, thank you for all your hard work these last several months and last year. And I think you guys have a really great team on your hands and, you know, great leadership. And anything that we could do to support your plans moving forward, we're open. Thanks. What now?
Thank you, Councillor Aglukak. This is more of a comment in support. It's not a question that you want to speak again, Sergeant.
Yeah, definitely. If we have a joint effort where all the agencies are working together collaboratively to attack this problem, would results in greater success. However, yeah, we'll continue with our proactive patrols, proactive initiatives of specifically targeting the impaired driving, liquor, and yeah. Thank you.
Wait a minute, Sergeant.
Thank you, Sergeant Nikolovsk-Sablako. I don't think there is more questions. Thank you for coming here to present. Back to our agenda. Moving forward. Number four, none. Number five. Councillor statements. Councillor Aglukak.
Just a few moments ago, I explained I have a soon-to-be 14-year-old. His birthday is tomorrow, and which means in 2 years' time he will be of voting age, and it breaks my heart that he's growing. However, also tomorrow on May 27, I encourage all eligible Nunavut Inuit to get out and vote in the Nunavut Dungavi Incorporated by-election. Our voice matters, our vote matters, and together we help shape the future of our territory. As Inuit, we have always shown resilience, strength, and determination through every challenge our people have faced. Voting is another way we can continue to stand together, protect our rights, and ensure Inuit voices remain strong in the decisions that impact our communities, families, language, culture, and future opportunities. This election is about more than choosing leadership. It is about participating in the future direction of Nunavut and ensuring Inuit priorities remain at the center of that future. Your participation matters. As an Inuk woman, I believe deeply in the importance of Inuit being heard, represented, and engaged. I encourage young voters, elders, and families, and all legal age Inuit to take the time tomorrow to cast your ballot and encourage others to do the same. When Inuit participate in elections, we strengthen Inuit self-determination and ensure our leaders reflect the priorities and values of our people. We strengthen our collective voice. When we stand together, we continue building a stronger and more resilient Nunavut for future generations. Go vote, please. Thanks. Matna.
Thank you, Councillor Aglukak. Anyone else? Me? Councillor, Deputy Mayor Smith, go ahead.
Thank you, Mayor Ala. Right now down in Toronto for the Skills National Competition, so I just wanted to take a moment to wish all of our kids from Nunavut excellent luck, and to, I'm sure none of them are watching this, but either way, to have a great time. It's an incredible event every year. It's a great opportunity to learn and network and, figure out what kind of career and what kind of trade or technology you might be interested in. It's going to be an excellent event. We've got some great volunteers, some great students. I'm so excited. And also go Blue Jays. So thank you.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor Smith. As we know, the students will be completing the year, school year. Sometime next month, there will be a graduation happening for sure. And that's exciting. And I encourage students to remain in school and do your best in school, because you will be the ones who will be paving our future. It is good. I'm happy for students. I don't think there are any more comments from the council members and on our agenda. There's no deferred business and tabled items. And bylaws, first reading of bylaws, none. There's a second reading of bylaws. Bylaw number 103, SAC zoning bylaw amendment 26-003A for plan 2105, lot 860. There has to be a mover for the second reading. Moved by Councillor Shepherd. Any seconder? Seconded by Deputy Mayor Smith. Questions, comments for the second reading of bylaws? Councillor Stevenson. Thank you, Chair.
Question would be about if indeed this reaches or is passed at second reading and then has third reading, when would the development permit for the building be brought to council?
Thank you, Councillor Stevenson. Go ahead. Hodanami Ichibota Amalapikotu Ratakdomut Tana Kinguningani Takwasana Tiulaktu Ukhatigazakabuta Manaloakigakigak Sachotigigumarnakto Unaila Leo Tilugu Unu Tana Imiko Mima Pivaliatichin.
And so once we have the second reading, I assume the developer would submit the development permit, which will be brought to council as soon as possible when they are ready. Third reading of this bylaw would only be approved should council do approve the development permit or provide conditional approval of the development permit itself. Thank you.
Thank you, Rico.
Thank you for that response. Can you just
Thank you, Counselor. Yes, the third reading would not move forward should Council not approve the development permit. So yes, it is conditional on the approval of the development permit itself.
Thank you, Rico. Councillor Stevenson.
I guess a little confused by that answer. What we're proposing here and what we're talking about is a zoning change to a increased density for a space. I think that I spoke at the last meeting that we spoke about this item and about how I saw the reasonableness of increasing the density in this area, in spite of my concerns about not having a real plan and echoing alternate Deputy Mayor Flaherty's concerns about not having a consistent plan, but that this area makes logical sense to be a higher density area. But I don't understand why it has to be tied to the actual building. I think that Council could approve this to be a higher density space and yet not be in favor of the building as proposed. I'm not saying they will, but I could see where there could be a place where we get to where we end up with a lot that has higher density potential, but where the building that was proposed isn't that. So I'm just a little confused about why they're tied together. I don't see them as necessarily tied together. And I don't really have a concern, as I guess you can hear from what I've been saying, about changing this zoning at the moment. And you know, I'm in favor of this second reading and moving towards that. I do have concerns about the potential or the proposed building, and I'll speak to those later when the opportunity is more appropriate for it, I guess.
Bill?
Thank you, Merrill. And Matthew sends his regrets this evening. He was supposed to be presenting this item. So first of all, I just wanted to note that we do have a general plan and zoning bylaw, and this is an amendment to that. So we do have a plan, and there is a clear plan outlined. This is an amendment to said plan. As far as the technical process of whether and when a DP comes to council, I'll let Rayco continue on that line of how the process of a development permit after second reading works. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. Rayco?
Thank you, Councillor, for your question. That is correct. Technically, this is not tied to any development permit. It's just a statement that in moving forward with it, again, there were concerns raised from the last discussions regarding this proposed building with the rezoning. But yes, I can confirm that the rezoning is not tied to this specific building should the developer decide to amend the drawing. Right now, it's a proposed plan. But yes, it's not tied in the sense that the rezoning application itself is specific to this particular building that is being proposed.
Thank you, Rico. Councillor Stevenson.
Thank you, Rico, for that answer. And just to address, Bill, your comment, of course we have a plan. It exists, but it's also outdated. It's been in revision for a long period of time, and it doesn't reflect what the council feels about the community and about the neighborhoods in the community. So I think it's a bit disingenuous to say we have a plan and to stop conversation like that. My opinion of that has been clear for, I'd be going on 5 to 7 years now.
Winnemucca to Mayor Stevenson, Bill.
Thank you, Councillor Stevenson. Bill?
Glad to see this discussion taken forward, but I do want to step in and speak to comments staff made. They're stating fact. So it's not the staff's issue that this is delayed as it is. The staff took this on because the contractor failed. So we're doing our absolute best to get this back. And those types of comments sort of make it sound like it's the administration problem. And it's not. The administration team the planning and development team is going above and beyond to get this back to council. To say that it may not reflect council, that could be true. It may also not be true. We have to wait and see till council reviews it and goes through it. Thank you.
Going to make to justice.
Thank you, Steve. Bill?
Thank you, Merle. And as council is aware, we also have the updated general plan and zoning bylaw coming to you this fall, which has been workshopped and working with council towards that. It's currently in the final phases, and the planning and development team have worked extremely hard on getting this to them, while also trying to meet the needs of development in the growing city that we're in. So with that, I want to thank the planning and development department for all the work that's been done, and note that there is an existing plan and there's an update coming that reflects the work that's happened in this room. Thank you.
And McBill, good to meet you.
Thank you, Bill. Councillor Shepherd.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm in favor of second reading. I'll vote in favor tonight. I do note that specifically in the bylaw, the first of two number fives, there's a bit of a typo there that needs to be corrected. Point five specifically in the bylaw explicitly states that third reading will be withheld until the development permit for the proposed apartment buildings has been conditionally approved by council. So it is in there. Third reading can't happen until we review that. I'm not sure I've seen that specifically before. I don't recall. It might be commonplace. But in this instance, the rezoning would not proceed until such time that we approve the ultimate development that's going to be on that lot. So just want to make sure that that was clear and it actually is in the bylaw. And that can't happen until the development itself is approved, as well as the typo. Turn that second five into a six and we should be good.
Thank you, Councillor Shepherd, for explaining that very clearly. Anybody else have any questions? There are no more questions on the matter. All those in favor? Unanimous approval here. Deputy Mayor Smith. Motion carried. Unanimous approval. We don't have any third reading bylaws to do. New business. We don't have any old business. New business. Information item. From Engineering Department, Kevin Kerr. Engineering Department Projects Update. Mr. Kerr works for the City Director of Engineering and Capital Projects. Kevin.
Thank you, Mayor Awa, and appreciate the opportunity to come back and finish what I started a couple of months ago. So the intent is just to provide council with a bit of a high-level update as to what's going on with respect to the long-term water program in particular, and potentially a few general capital jobs that are related. So RICO's graciously offered to help identify where some of these programs are. So I believe you have a schedule in the package that shows the long-term water, and I'll just go through those and can point out the where those projects are and what they are on the screen. So the critical, the chlorine system upgrades and the water treatment plant generator, they're both underway. They're I would say 30-40% design stage, and that's to replace the chlorine system at the water treatment plant and to provide the water treatment plant with backup power in the event that we have a power failure. Happy Valley loops are the three, dead ends in Happy Valley that we're going to eliminate, and that'll do a number of things. That'll improve water distribution in the area. It'll reduce the unaccounted for water, which is a key performance indicator in the grant funding that we have from the federal government. Astro Hill upgrades, that's a significant project and taken a fair bit of time to get underway. We're expect 90% design drawings this week. We've had conversations with the property owner, and those will continue to determine exactly how that shakes out as far as, obviously trying to meet the needs of the city, but not to disrupt the operation of their facility, which will be a bit of a challenge, but I think it's something that we can work towards as long as we maintain communications and open lines of communication. Trigram Reheat Station 8.3 is the relocation of the reheat station from the Trigram building into our booster station. So we're moving it from a rental property into a city-owned property in the associated piping. With that, that work is ongoing. Construction, I would say, is 20-30% complete, and that'll be completed this year. The raw water intake is the intake valve at Lake Geraldine. That's a design build program where we have RVA and Tower collaborated to provide the one quote we received on that one, and the design work's done. Construction's scheduled for July and August of this year. Everything seems to be going according to plan on that one. The critical pipe renewals, that tender closed. That was item 12 on the agenda tonight, which we'll have to regroup on, I guess, but that was the award of the contract to replace some of the ductile iron in the distribution system, as well as some of the sanitary sewer in that area. AV 341 to 335, 8.12 on the map. That work was completed last year. The reason it's included as part of the capital this year is, in addition to that scope of work, there is a small piece of work where RICO has the cursor in 8.12. There's a couple of manholes and some piping to be replaced there as well. So the bulk of the work is completed, but that work is scheduled for August and September of this year, and that'll wrap up that job. The water treatment plant to AV 305, and then AV 305 to Astro Hill is, again, a fairly critical piece of work, because what it does, it'll provide a larger line feeding from the storage reservoir down to AV 305 and feeding the system, which will improve fire flows and distribution throughout the system. It won't solve every problem, but it'll go a long way to improving that. And then the AV 305 over to Astro Hill, my understanding is there was, that line was repaired. It was a temporary repair a number of years ago, and we're going to replace that brook crossing and tie into the work that we're doing on Astro Hill. And then, I'm just looking. I think I already mentioned that one. The Lake Geraldine. Oh, and the bigger problem, like if you scroll up to the... So that's a lot of the distribution work that's part of the long-term water program. The bulk or the big piece of the long-term water program is the construction of the new reservoir. We have 50% of the design completed. There's some geotechnical work to be done to help finalize design. We're in front of council, I think a year ago or so, to talk about going to a construction manager at risk development program, which we have done. We've shortlisted, I think there were 7 original proponents down to 4, and we're just going through final review to get that RFP out for the 4 shortlisted to submit on that construction manager at risk portion of the work. We expect to have, ideally what we would like is to get the construction manager on board, and they can provide some construction experience and some constructability advice so that we can fine tune the design. And then once the design is completed, they can start managing the construction and see if we can't get, it'll be unlikely that we see much early construction this year, but next year we hope to have construction started on that, and then construction will continue over the course of the next 3 years in the reservoir, and the distribution upgrades are expected to be completed 2030, in that range. And I appreciate that's fairly high level, but that's just to give you some sense of what's going on with respect to long-term water. And I can try and answer any questions if there are any.
Thank you, Kevin. Anybody have any questions or comments?
Could you, May Shepherd?
Councillor Shepherd?
You know, 2030 seems like a long time away. It's really not as far as it might have been initially. I'm encouraged by the amount of work that's been done to fix pipes to date, realizing we have, you know, on most days, nearly 2 years worth of water in Lake Geraldine right now. It's allowing us to build more housing and add to the supply in town without the same restrictions we had previously due to the number of leaks. And I'm just wondering, with the additional work underway, do we expect to, you know, potentially fix more of the long-term leaks that might be in the system, and maybe even add additional, you know, or at least maintain that full capacity of Geraldine throughout more of the year going forward to ensure that we have adequate water supply for additional housing until the additional reservoir is complete?
Going to make it to me, Shepherd.
Thank you, Councillor Shepherd. Kevin?
Thank you. The plan is, like, there's a lot of balls to juggle in the sense that you have the long-term water, so we've got funding to replace water. If we're going to replace the water, we want to look at the sanitary sewer at the same time. We don't want to be digging up a street and then coming back. So the short answer is we're trying to improve the water and sewer both, so that we improve capacity on both sides of that equation. We have sufficient water, we have proper fire flows, pressures to allow for development, and then when everything leaves those, that development, that we have the sewer capacity to get it to the wastewater treatment plant and then to treat it at the wastewater treatment plant. So we're trying to cover off and tick all those boxes when we put these packages together, and trying to stay a little bit ahead of the development, the planning department, which is a bit of a challenge, but we're, you know, when we think about long-term capital planning, we look at all those capacity issues, but then you got to throw in, okay, what sort of developments coming down the pipeline? When is it going to come online? How does it fit with maybe a paving program or other street upgrades and all, and just try and make sure that we don't miss anything when we're planning our long-term capital.
Thank you, Kevin. Administration, Steve.
Question, comment. I'd just like to add one piece that big thanks to the Utilidor crews within Public Works. We're already exceeding the leakage reduction that was set out in the DMAF funding. So that's also enabling us to get ahead. There's still a lot of work to do, but those parameters that were set in the DMF has already been met. Thank you.
When you make it to me, Steve.
Thank you, Councillor Steve. And thank you, Kevin, for presenting. It is more clear about water on our agenda 9B. Can I touch on this?
Kitchen. Could you make Shepherd any kind of announcement?
Councillor Shepherd will be stepping out. I will ask Samantha Tuho or Matthew Todd. Samantha, you can go ahead.
Members, and good evening. After full review, staff considered the development permit application, DP25-047, and survey sketch application, SK26-007, to be supportable. The proposed development and survey is located on a through lot with access from both Fred Coleman and Natsik in the core area. The site is identified in the location map on page 2 of the RFD. Community plan and zoning bylaw amendments were recently approved and given third reading, so they came into effect, to rezone the site, lots 1 and 3, block 239, plan 4564, from Sianga to high density residential, special exception 4. Although there has been some refinement of the details of the development, the proposal is consistent with what was presented in the amendment application. The plans are included in the attachments of the RFD. The applicant is now seeking approval to redevelop the core area site with a 4-story apartment building. The building will have 36 units, with 16 one-bedroom units and 20 two-bedroom units. The applicant is also proposing 14 parking spaces with additional ATV and snow machine parking, and 9 outdoor storage lockers, so enough for all of the ground floor units, a sidewalk along Fred Coleman, and a pedestrian connection between Natsik and Fred Coleman. The applicant is also seeking survey approval to permit the consolidation of the lots to create one irregularly shaped through lot. The sketch plan is shown on the last page of the RFD. The proposed development is consistent with the general plan and zoning bylaw. Note that the special exception zone does permit the reduced front yard and interior side yard setback that is reflected on the site plan. The proposed design, color, building footprint, and amenities are generally consistent with the core area design guidelines. There are some special approval conditions noted in the RFD. Most conditions include minor revisions to the plans, including updates to the grading and drainage plan to revise the retaining wall location. A revised set of plans was received today and are under review. The developer will also be required to enter into a development agreement for the installation of the sidewalk along Fred Coleman and the installation of a water-only access vault on Fred Coleman. Per the development agreement cost-sharing bylaw, the developer is responsible for 100% of those costs. The recommended motion is to approve development permit DP25-047 for plan 4565, block 239, lots 1 and 3, to permit a 36-unit apartment, and approve survey sketch 26-007 to consolidate the lots. Thank you, Quenamique.
Thank you, Samantha. Comments or questions, unless someone wants to move this. Councillor Stevenson.
Thank you, Samantha, for that. I guess I have a couple of questions and a comment. First, I know in the timeline graphic that's on the first page, you talk about staff review and comments and then the revised submission. maybe you could give me a little detail about what it is that the staff recommended that was revised. And then I'm wondering about three-bedroom apartments and why there are none in the building and if that was something that was discussed. And then I would like to comment on the sidewalk as a, I forget the word for it, but a cost. I'm very happy that that's been included. I was looking at the sketch on the last page. I don't think it says which side is Fred Coleman, but I'm assuming it's the long side and that that's where the sidewalk would be. Does it run the entire length of the lot? Is that the plan? I guess if you could answer those questions, that would be great.
Thank you, Councillor Stevenson. Samantha.
Thank you, Councillor Stevenson. So the revisions that will need to be made before the development permit is issued are to the grading and drainage plan. Their initial plan included a retaining wall that would have been too close to the lot line, and they elected to revise that rather than seek a variance. There was also some details that needed to be confirmed, including the exterior materials. One of the materials for one of the colors of siding was not identified, and that is something that we need to do under the core area urban design guidelines. Finally, there was revisions to the grading and drainage plan, as well as the site surfacing plan. They had their civil key plan approved, but engineering needs more detailed plans, including like the AV specifications, before the permit will actually be issued. And those will also be included in the development agreement, which will need to be signed before the permit is issued. But it does allow them to get their notice of decision and start their appeal period while that is being resolved. You also asked a question about the sidewalk. Yes, they are responsible for 100% of the cost of the length of the sidewalk along the Fred Coleman frontage. So that is on the RFD, should be on the left, and should be depicted on the plan. I hope that answered all of your questions. If I was missing one, please let me know. Thank you, Kwanmeek.
Thank you, Samantha. Councillor Stevenson.
Thank you, Samantha, for those answers. The only question that was missing was the whether three-bedroom options were discussed.
Thank you, Councillor Stevenson. Samantha.
Thank you. My apologies for missing that. There was extensive pre-application consultation with the developer on this application, and ultimately the decision that the application that was brought forward to the amendment was one that featured no three bedrooms and only the one and two bedrooms. So that wasn't revised between the amendment and the development permit stage. I'm unsure what the reason was given at the time, the pre-application review, of why there couldn't be a three-bedroom offered. Thank you.
Thank you, Samantha. Councillor Stevenson.
He's about to, yeah, I think, you know, this is not a question for Samantha, but more of a comment for my fellow councillors that I'm earlier, Councillor Shepherd and I were talking about how, you know, mixed types of residents in residential, large residential spaces make for better community. And, you know, I think that includes, you know, different socioeconomic levels, but it also includes different sizes of family group. I really don't see a reason why a building this big can't have at least a small amount of option for people that may have more than one child and might need more than a second child's bedroom. It seems inconsistent with the needs of our community, and it surprises me.
Thank you, Councillor Stevenson, Deputy Mayor Smith.
Mayor Awa, and you know, thanks for your comments, Councillor Stevenson. Here I can turn on my camera while I speak here. I do think that we really underestimate the need for 1 and 2 bedrooms in the city. And I know, like, this has been a discussion in council for quite a long time now, but I think in general, families are tending to be getting smaller. Like, this is a great opportunity for young families, people starting out. I wonder if there'd be value in us as a council pursuing, you know, either like a study or some sort of survey to determine the actual housing need for our community, for actual units, so we can base our decision making off of that. I do think that there is a great need for 1 and 2 bedroom apartments. I think there's a lot of young people who'd like to, you know, move out and spread their wings, or even for a young couple, a small family. I think there is a great need, but it would be great if there was a way for us to get that data. So if that's something that council's interested in pursuing, I'd love to hear your thoughts. But just, yeah, my two cents.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor Smith. Councillor Stevenson.
Mayor Awa, and I'm assuming that was sort of directed at my comment, so I'll respond. There's no question that there's a need for 1 and 2 bedroom apartments. That's never been called into question. I'm sure if you were to go down any list of housing need, it would include 1 or 2 bedrooms, but it would also include 3 bedrooms and probably even 4 bedrooms. I'm not arguing for no 1 bedrooms. I'm arguing that we have a variety.
Thank you, Councillor Stevenson. I don't think there are any more questions. There has to be a motion for this. A mover. For the administration's request, there has to be a mover. Okay. Is there Councillor Agluka move, seconded by Deputy Mayor Smith? Questions, comments to the motion? I see none. Those in favor? 1 in favor, 2. Those abstain, those that didn't vote. Councillor Stevenson.
I just was behind in the timing, but I'm voting against, not abstaining.
Okay.
Thank you. Motion carried. Thank you. There's no committee reports, correspondence. Thank you, Councillor Shepherd, for waiting. We are on item number 11, correspondence. The Nunavut Research Institute is asking for an approval. Motion made by Aglukak and those in favor. All in favor in the House. Deputy Mayor Smith. Thank you. Item number 12, We will not discuss this in camera session due to when we're having sessions in camera. We have to be in closed doors. Therefore, we need a motion for adjournment. Moved by Councillor Stevenson, seconded by Councillor Lukak. Those in favor, all in favor. Councillor Deputy Mayor Smith.
Speak to Jayeed and
thank you to the interpreters, Andrew and Licha. Thank you for your help, and thank you for coming this for this council meeting, and have a good evening.